This is the Evil Never Dies podcast with Brett and Carl. This podcast may contain adult themes, violence, and strong language. Listener discretion is advised.
The Evil Never Dies podcast.
What's going on, evil ones? Thanks for listening. I'm Brett here with Carl.
Yeah, you've been doing some good episodes here during the week.
Well, thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Some pretty obscure stuff, but actually that Scorpions album, after you talked about it, I played it and I actually knew every song on it just about. So
that's a fucking good album, man. It's one of their best, in my opinion.
I think you're right. I kind of break them up from you got the 70s Scorpions and the 80s Scorpions, and it's almost like they were two separate bands to me.
And the 90s Scorpions.
Well, after Wind of Change, I think they pretty much,
I don't know. They're supposed to be making a new album or something. I don't know.
I haven't really listened to much of their stuff in a while.
I love the Scorps, so anywho, tonight we're going to be talking about a couple things, actually. We're going to do sort of like a two-parter here tonight. First, we're going to be talking about the 1974 movie Blood for Dracula, also known as Andy Warhol's Dracula. Did you get the chance to watch this yet, Carl?
Well, let me give the story behind that. So you've been trying to get me to watch this movie for a while, and I had a little bit of knowledge of it.
Well, let me go through all the info, and then you can have
Let me go through this first. So Brett's been trying to get me to watch this movie for a while, and I had enough knowledge to know that it was probably not going to be something I liked. And I believe Severn Films just put it out on 4K. And it's like $40. I mean, it's expensive as hell. So I'm like, I'm not paying that for a movie that I don't think I'm going to like. So I think found it on Vudu, but it was like a rental, but it was under another name. So anyway, I picked up AMC Plus because everybody's been hearing me talk about I'm still a Walking Dead fan and I don't have cable anymore. So AMC Plus comes with Shudder. So there it was on Shudder, Blood for Dracula. So last night I was like, okay, we'll give this thing a chance. So now you can continue on, my friend, and do your thing. I will comment at a later point.
All right. It was a 1974 horror film directed by Paul Morrissey.
Did you say a horror film or a horror film?
Horror film. Horror.
That was a horror film, dude. Pure horror.
All right. It was directed by Paul Morrissey, screenplay by Paul Morrissey, and he also wrote the story also. So, and supposedly based on characters by Bram Stoker.
That wasn't based on no Bram, nothing.
It was produced by Andrew Bromsberg. You know who that is?
Not offhand.
Andy Warhol.
Oh, fuck.
You know, the Campbell Soup fucking dude, 15 Minutes of Fame, yada, yada, yada.
I just know he was some weirdo that ran around in that, what was it, Studio, whatever, in New York is
Studio
about
54.
All I know. Yeah, Studio 54. I don't know much about Andy Warhol or why he produced a Dracula movie.
He also produced a Frankenstein movie too by the same director as this.
Is it the same?
Sort of. Yeah. It's about the same. So
that's all I need to know. Continue on. Now everybody remember, vampires are my thing. You know, I've played a vampire character since the 80s in haunted houses. And I've got vampires all over the house, you know, so I'm very, very serious about vampire movies. So continue on, my friend. I'll say more later.
All right. Starring Joe Delarondo. I don't know who he played, but don't really care. And Udo Kier, Victoria De Sica, and Maxine Kendry. Cinematography by Luigi Cavalier.
Luigi?
Luigi!
The dude from Mario?
I maybe. I wonder if he's a plumber, too.
Possibly.
Music was by Claudio Gizé.
You know, I will say the music wasn't terrible in that. I'm going to go ahead and I got one positive thing right there. The music wasn't bad. Very good, moody music for that.
All right. Production company was, I can't really even pronounce this. It's Italian, I think. Compagnia Cinematografica Champion.
There was some fuckery going on in that movie for sure, man. Pure fuckery.
Distributed by Euro International Films. Released 1st of March 1974 in West Germany, and then the 15th of August 1975 in Italy and rest of the world. Running time of 106 minutes. And they did it in the English language. And I seen this at the drive-in with that Frankenstein movie when I was like 6 years old. So it was like one of my first vampire Frankenstein movies other than the originals, you know?
Yeah.
And then I think I had actually seen Christopher Lee role after I had seen this. So
boy, I bet that was a culture shock.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was. From what I can remember. But I remember seeing it at the drive-in when I was probably 6 or 7 years old when I seen it. It was a double feature. So all right, let's go over the plot of this piece of shit.
Now wait a minute. You're the one that said it was a good movie and it reminded you of a Hammer film, so now you're changing your mind based on me, I think.
No, I didn't really like it per se. It's just
let me just come out and say this. I've seen a lot of bad vampire movies. I've seen low budget vampire movies. My daughter made me go see every Twilight movie in the theater. Now she was about 8 years old when all that started. And you know, I'm gonna be good and take her to see the movie. I've sit through every Edward movie. I even sit through the Frankenstein versus Dracula movie where the guy was wearing like a paper mache Frankenstein head on his head. But I ain't ever seen nothing as shitty as that movie I watched last night. I don't know what the fuck was going on. I don't know what the hell I was watching. And I don't know why the hell this Dracula, fake Dracula, keeps throwing up blood so graphically. I have nothing positive to say about that movie. Andy Warhol was an idiot if he produced that. That is an absolute...
Come on, man. It's art, dude. It's art.
It is absolute disgrace to Bram Stoker, to Bela Lugosi, to Christopher Lee, all the way up to Gary Oldman, including Count Karabi. It's a total disgrace. That movie was terrible. Matter of fact, I'm going to tell you, I was watching it last night on Shudder. Like, what the fuck is this? Why is this dude throwing up? Then he finally moved to Italy to find virgins, supposedly. I'm telling the plot right now. This is it. So he gets to Italy, and all these chicks are running around taking their clothes off for no apparent reason. After that, he's wanting to be in his coffin and die, I think. Which I guess wish the fuck they would have let him. That would have solved a lot right there.
Because he is weak because he didn't have virgin blood.
Well, he's goofy
I've never heard of a vampire needing actual virgin's blood.
You know, that's actually not a bad plot line. I mean, Dracula 2000, which is actually a very good Dracula movie, has a real unique plot line. I'm not going to ruin that one. We'll save it for another time. But that could be a pretty good plot, you know, story there. But that, all I know is he was in Italy. They were running around. He wanted in his coffin. And at that point, I went to sleep. I slept through about half of it. I woke up. As soon as I woke up, he's throwing up graphically, throwing up the blood, which was cool effect. But I was like, you know what? I don't give a fuck if this dude lives, dies, or what. So at that point, I turned my Apple TV box off and I went to sleep. That's my take on Andy Warhol's Dracula. I'm going to say it's probably the worst vampire movie that I've seen. And I've seen some shitty vampire movies. I have seen some crappy. Even the Scooby-Doo vampire things are 50, look like Academy Award winning performances. When Scooby-Doo's running around with the Hex Girls, that's better than this damn thing. I actually enjoy that. And I'm telling you, I've seen almost every. There are some really bad low budget vampire movies that are just terrible. There's one called, you know, a lot of Dracula is a public domain, so anybody can use Dracula. You know, you can make Dracula versus Bubba and just make that a movie. And there are some really bad ones, but for a budgeted movie, I now can say that was the worst thing I've ever seen. It's a disgrace to Christopher Lee, and it's a disgrace to Bella, and everybody, even Jack Plance, who played Dracula in a movie. It wasn't actually that terrible. It was a pretty good movie. He did a good job as Dracula. But this was crap beyond crap.
You made me spit up my drink through my nose, dude.
If you want to continue on this, feel free. But that's the plot right there. I don't know if this motherfucker lives, dies, or throws up more blood, or goes in his coffin, where he goes, or what he does. I don't care. That was terrible. And I will not watch the Frankenstein movie, because I'm sure it sucks worse. Because Frankenstein's always just a little bit below Dracula. Just a tiny bit.
Oh, man.
So I guess you finally got me on a movie that I'm going to have to be honest about. I can't fake anything about this. I'm just telling you, man.
I'm sorry, everybody. I can't stop laughing. This is fucking
hilarious.
I'm not laughing.
I take vampire stuff serious, man.
I'm telling you, Carl, I'm sorry I made you watch it, buddy. I feel bad now.
Well, why did you think I would have liked that for?
I don't know.
And the damn you to hell for saying it was something like a Hammer film. The worst Hammer film is probably Dracula Meets the Seven Brothers. And that film looks like an Academy Award winning performance compared to this Warhol's Dracula.
Oh, shit.
People, do not watch this movie. Do not even look it up. I'm telling you, it is terrible. And again, I am sort of an expert on the world of the vampire. And that's, I just don't know what else to say. If you want to continue on, you can, or we can just.
I think we're done with that for now. I think we're going to take a quick break here. And
let's take a break.
I'm going to make another drink, and then we're going to get into Death Angel.
Hell,
here.
I was drinking my tea, but I think I'm going to have to go make a drink after that.
All right, man. Well, we'll be right back, fellas. All righty, evil ones, we're back. We had to make a drink or two.
And forget about whatever it was. Let's talk about something more positive.
All righty.
Death Angel. I have
Death
nothing,
Angel.
Nothing negative to say about Death Angel. Love those guys.
Have you ever really seen them? You ever seen them live?
I think I have, but I don't exactly remember where. I just remember I go back to 1988 with them guys, you know.
Yep.
That the song I'm Bored.
I'm Bored. Yeah, that was
love that song.
That video was pretty cool too, man.
Well, you let me tell you, before you get going on anything, I was telling you off air, I first kind of came across Death Angel because, what was it, 86, Ozzy released Ultimate Sin with Jakey Lee, and then they fired Jakey Lee out of Ozzy's band by fax, I believe it was, or some stupid shit. So I kept reading, you know, this is 88, you know, 87. There was no internet. All we had was magazines to find news out. And I kept reading that Jakey Lee was going to start his own band. And I'm like, that's fucking awesome. So, you know, Jakey Lee, I think is part Japanese, something like that.
Yep.
Well, anyway, so for whatever reason, I just thought that Jakey Lee's band was Death Angel. Because, you know, I saw like a little picture of him. And I'm like, is that Jakey Lee? I said, boy, he's kind of changed a little bit. But
he got awful skinny. Because he was always sort of a bigger dude.
Yeah, I, for whatever reason, I thought Death Angel was Jakey Lee's band. You know, it wasn't until later I figured out it was Badlands. So for about maybe a week, a month, I don't know, I thought that the song Bored was actually Jakey Lee playing guitar on it. And I'm like, man, this guy has totally changed. You know, it don't sound anything like, you know, the Jakey Lee I knew. Then I finally figured out it was Badlands. And the Death Angel was Death Angel, so I ended up loving both bands. Badlands only lasted for two albums.
Yeah.
Death Angel is still going to this day, so, you know.
Yeah, after a couple of breaks there, they had a hiatus for like 10
years. They've had a few
years.
Breaks, yeah. Yeah, they did go away for a while.
But Death Angel is... They're an American thrash metal band from the Bay Area of California, San Francisco area, and they've been around since 1982 till present. With like I said, they had a 10-year hiatus from 91 to 2002, I think it was. And
I know the last couple of years they had a lot of issues with COVID, and I think one of them almost died.
Yep, the drummer, I believe it was.
Yeah.
I think the drummer and the bass player both got it pretty bad.
This band has definitely had its tragedy in its day, you know.
Exactly. But anyway.
Well, we're going to talk about Act 3. Tonight
is
the album we're going to concentrate on.
Exactly. Let me flip that over to it.
Their third album.
Yep.
And their first album on Giffen Records.
Yep.
Their first
exactly.
Major label.
Exactly. And I like this album, man. I think it's their best album, actually. I actually like it better.
It's got a different style than anything they've ever done.
Yeah, there's a little bit of groove in it, a little bit of punk, a little bit of everything in it. You know, it's got progressive, some folk, even if you listen to it.
Especially the guitar.
A
little bit of Fate's Warning and Sabotage in there.
Exactly. Anyway. It was released, recorded from September to October of 89. And it was at Dodge City Sound in Burbank, California, where they recorded it. Length of the album is 44 minutes and 54 seconds. And like Carl said, on Geffen Records, which was their only time. The mix by Tom Zutaut. Hold on. All right. Like I said, the only album on Geffen Records. Had two hits on the album, Seemingly Endless Time and Room with a View, which is probably my favorite song on the album.
It might be my favorite song that Death Angel ever did. It's definitely not a thrash song, but it's just really a deep, deep song. Lyrically, very, very deep.
Yes, it is.
Definitely showed a side to him that you didn't see on the previous two albums.
Exactly. All right. Now, they were very successful. It was more successful over in Europe than it was over here. It didn't even make it on the charts at all over here in the United States.
Yeah, that's disappointing. I do remember the videos were played pretty heavily on Headbangers Ball.
Yep, the Seemingly Endless Time in a Room with a View. They were pretty cool videos too for back then, you know.
Sorry, got to get more ice here. Hey, it's a Saturday night.
Sorry, we're drinking, fellas.
We just, so y'all know, we normally do this on Sundays, but we're doing it on the Saturday night. So,
and we're drinking. So
drinking is his evil limey.
Evil limey bastards.
And I'm just drinking some cinnamon schnapps tonight, which is not what I normally drink.
No.
Usually I'm drinking absolute lime or absolute vanilla, but I switched it out tonight. Anyway,
it was very popular over in Europe, but not as so much here.
And maybe they thought it was J.K. Lee's band. I don't know why. I was a kid, you know. What the fuck, you know? It's just something I still remember to this day, that for like a half a minute I thought that was Badlands.
Well, when they were on tour for this album, I lived in Corona, California.
Hey, you wasn't in Peoria.
Huh?
You wasn't in Peoria. That's
not
good.
Not then, not in 1990. I was living in Southern California, Los Angeles area. Corona, California, used to be a racetrack around the whole town.
Oh, wow.
Anyway, I went up to the Ralph's grocery store to get gas, and I see this, I park next to this van, and two long-haired guys, they were a lot smaller than me, man. I thought they was probably about 17, 18 years old at the most, you know. They got out of the van, they said, like, hey, man, can you, we ran out of gas, can you take us to go get some gas at the gas station, you know? So I'm like, oh, no, what the fuck? So I forget which one it was. I couldn't tell you which one went with me, but we went and got gas in the gas can, come back, filled them up, got gas, put the 5 gallons in or whatever, because they had the gas can, you know? And they're like, hey, man, would you go into the Ralph's there and buy us a case of beer? And I'm like, oh, sure. Well, ended up being Death Angel.
How freaking cool is that?
Yeah, I didn't know him for shit, really. I didn't know him by face, you know. I'd listened to him before.
Well, yeah.
But then when they were getting back in, I seen all their equipment and shit that they had.
And you're like, holy fuck, it's Death Angel.
And I'm like, oh, you guys in a band? And they're like, yeah, we're Death Angel. I'm like, no shit.
That's funny as shit.
Yeah, that was probably
Death Angel.
That was probably the highlight of the whole time I ever lived in California.
Did you get to hang out with them a minute then, or did they?
Well, just I took one of them to the gas station, got 5 gallons of gas in the gas.
Yeah, but that's before you knew he was in Death Angel. So
yeah, no shit. But
if you'd have known beforehand, it'd have been a better little trip.
Well, not too long after that, they got, I guess they were on their way to Las Vegas to do a show and got in a bad accident.
Bad wreck.
And it hurt the drummer, Andy Galleon. I guess it fucked him up pretty good. But
yeah, like I said before, that band had a little bit of tragedy over the years.
Yep, so they hung on, and the guy that started the band and the guitarist, Rob Cavastani.
Yeah, I'm not even going to try to get into names on these guys. I'm not very good with names anyway.
Well, he's the founding member, actually, and backing vocals. And Mark Osageda, he's lead vocals. And he actually, they had another singer, actually. And the band was called, what was the name of the band? Dark Theory was actually the first name that they had before they went to Death Angel. And they had a different singer. And then the Mark Osageda, he was one of their roadies. And a cousin to Gus and Dennis Papa, which Gus played guitar and Dennis played bass. And then, of course, you had Andy Galleon on drums. And he's the one that got messed up pretty bad.
Yeah, it hurt in the wreck.
Well, when you're traveling in a van like that, man, and you get hit by a fucking semi or whatever, there ain't...
Oh, yeah.
Lucky the rest of them weren't hurt bad too, you know.
Yeah, I think it was after that wreck is when they sort of broke up.
Yeah,
Rob Cavastani, they started, like, another band.
Yeah, they actually, after they did this album, they started a band called
The Organization.
The Organization.
I remember that.
Which is actually a song on Act 3.
And I think they were touring with Rob Halford. That might have been where I saw them. It might not have been Death Angel. It might have been them as the Organization.
On the Fight? That was a Fight tour, I believe.
I did go to that. I was totally into Fight. That was like my favorite band for for a bit. I was so pumped that Halford had gone, total thrash.
Yeah, I was playing that first fight album in the drive-thru to Burger King one day, and somebody pulled up next to me and told me to turn that fucking shit off.
I would have gave him the finger on that one.
I fucking rolled up my fucking window on the passenger side and went on and got my fucking Whoppers, motherfucker. All right. So anyway,
back to Act 3.
Let's go. You want to go through the songs here? When's the last time you listened to this album, Carl?
It hadn't been that long ago, because me and one of my guys at work that's a metalhead, he's a huge Death Angel fan, and he was laughing at me saying, "Oh, you probably only like the song Bored." And I'm like, "No, actually, I like the album Act 3. And he's like, "Oh, really? Well, that's impressive then." He said most people are more familiar with Frolic to the Park, their second album.
That is a good album, man. It's a very good album. Their first album wasn't bad, too.
Yeah, it was more thrash, and Act 3 was more, like we talked about, different. But, yeah, I listen to it. It's still in my rotation.
I wonder if Geffen Records had anything to do with that.
Probably. People don't remember or realize or even knew back then that the labels controlled these bands or their managers. Because I was listening, this is way off the subject, but I was listening to one of Kiss's ex-managers today. I guess he managed them during the Hot in the Shade through Revenge tour. The Revenge tour helped put that together, and said that he had managed Cinderella. And that the biggest regret he ever had in his life was the picture on Night Songs he put of Cinderella, where they were all glammed out with the big hair. because he said he thinks that's what killed the band was that one picture, you know, years later. That if he would have just put a picture of like a blues guitar or something, that Cinderella might have survived grunge. And if he would have, if they would have never, you know, that they look like glam guys, but they weren't, you know, they were a blues band. But it's the managers and the labels did do a lot of influence on, and they could have changed, you know, told Death Angel to get a little bit more, you know, away from thrash.
Yep. All right.
Those guys would be interesting to really talk to. I would love to have a sit down with they're so down to earth, it seems. I've met a lot of people, but I've never had a chance to actually meet these guys.
Death Angel?
Yes.
Well, I seen them recently, like when they toured I seen them once with Devil Driver. They opened up for Devil Driver. And the other time I seen them was when they opened up for Slayer and Anthrax out there at Gas Monkey. And then I seen them again with Devil Driver.
Remember they were supposed to be touring with either Exodus or Overkill. And that was the COVID, when COVID hit. And was on tour.
Yeah, that was with what tour was that? It was Exodus, Testament, and
I think it was
Overkill. Testament. Yeah, well, they were calling it
the Bay Area Thrash Fest or something.
Something like that.
And they all got fucking COVID.
In Italy, their last stop was Italy, right when it started.
And
that's
where COVID was like really bubbling in Italy. It's killing thousands over there, I guess, at the time. You know, this was in the original wave of it when nobody knew what was going on yet.
Yep, exactly.
But I think that tour never did get rescheduled.
Chuck Billy and his wife, they got really sick. And supposedly the bass player for Death Angel, when he was on a ventilator, I don't know if it was the bass player or the drummer, but one of them said when they were on the ventilator and in a coma or whatever, that they had some
near-death experience.
Yeah.
I remember that, yeah.
That ain't that crazy?
But I don't think that tour ever really got rescheduled because
I think they're out doing it. This spring they're redoing it. I wouldn't mind going and seeing them again.
I wouldn't mind going either at this stage, now that everything's back to normal in the world, apparently.
Well, look that up. See where they're fucking.
I'm looking it up right now. I'm ahead of you. Sure, 2022.
I'm sure they're gonna come close here.
The Bay Area Strikes Back tour. That's what I couldn't think of.
Yep.
So, yeah, this tour is delayed after like 2 years.
Exactly.
So.
And Testament, man, I'd love to see Testament. I've never seen them before.
I have seen Testament.
Chuck Billy's awesome, dude.
Well, it looks like April 22nd, they'll be at the former Gas Monkey.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, we need to go to that. April 22nd. What day is it on?
It's on a Friday.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Well, shit, man. Let's go.
We still got to get our WASP tickets. WASP. I can never say WASP, right?
Are they sold out yet?
No, it ain't sold out.
Sorry, yet. We're rambling, man. We're rambling.
Yeah, we started to rant. It's a Saturday night. That's why we should do the show on Sundays. But...
get a little liquor in it.
Blackie Lawless is doing his like 40th or whatever anniversary tour with WASP, and it's going to be a big event. But unfortunately, it got moved from the former Bomb Factory, which is a big venue, to the Amped Live, which is a smaller venue. And I think that thing is going to be so packed, it's going to be hard to move around in there to see anything.
Oh, they're moving to the Gas Monkey then, the old Gas Monkey.
Yes. And this tour
that's not a bad venue. It probably fit 2,000 people in there, I'd say.
Yeah, but this is Wasp hadn't toured America in like 10 years, and then you got Michael Schenker and, of course, Armored Saint.
Because when Slayer played there, Slayer, Anthrax, Death Angel, I forget who else played there. Somebody else played, but it was asshole to asshole in that motherfucker.
That's what it's going to be for Wasp, I'm sure.
It might be for this tour, too.
It could be for this, too, yeah. Now that...
Yeah, I'm all in for that. I'd rather go to them than go see Cannibal Corpse, but...
F Cannibal Corpse. But I actually, I like the singer, you know, did a song with Dee Snider, and he actually did a really good job.
Yeah, he did. He's a good guy, man.
They're good guys. I'm just not into that type of metal. I never have been, and at this age, I probably never will be. I've always been more into thrash. Yeah, I love all the thrash bands.
They're probably one of the only death.
Yeah, metal I'm not a death metal fan.
There's very few that I listen to. So
Overkill, Testament.
I'm more of a thrash guy too myself, like Death Angel, man.
Death Angel, yeah. We didn't get very far on
that. I'm telling you that Rob Cavastani, he's a very underrated guitarist, man. If you listen to that whole Act 3 all the way through, the guitar work in this thing is just amazing, man.
Well, I like Mark's voice, too. He's a good singer, you know, because, you know, I'm big into vocals. And, of course, with thrash, sometimes you don't have the best vocalist.
Well, you know, he actually auditioned for fucking Anthrax.
I remember hearing back in the day when they hired John Bush.
They said he was too hard for him. Ain't that funny?
Outright. Well, they were trying to change their image at that point. That's how they went with John Bush.
Which, he's an awesome singer also, so. He was
fucking
live. That was a really good definitely, show, too.
With me and Brett are sort of sometimes on the opposite ends of metal, but this is where we definitely come together as bands like Death Angel. Yep. Love Death Angel. Whereas Brett listens to Devil Driver, you know, I sometimes will go on the other end of the spectrum, like Bonfire, who I've been listening to a lot here lately. A band I rediscovered after losing them for many years. So we do sort of have a different range of music. Metal.
Didn't they come out in like the mid-80s originally?
Yes, they did. Actually, I think they go back to the 70s like originally, but they didn't start recording, you know, until the mid-80s. And I don't know that they ever had a lot of success in the United States, but, you know, they like disappeared from the labels and was only releasing in Europe for a long time.
From the couple of songs I listened to them, they're okay.
Yeah, I think we started talking about them when we reviewed what movie was it? Oh, it was Shocker. Yeah, Shocker.
Yeah, they were on that, weren't they?
We had talked about Bonfire, you know, a couple. We've done so many shows now, I'm starting to forget what we've said and what we haven't said. But yeah, Bonfire was on that. So maybe you know, I'll like, have to start
like,
doing
it. Like you tell me, let's do Queensryche. let's do Queensryche.
Yeah.
Like we did that already, Carl. Oh, yeah.
You know, that wasn't a very memorable episode for me. I think it was in our early days and we didn't know what the hell we were doing.
We still don't know what the hell we're doing, but we're doing it.
Well, at least I remember the last few episodes. Barely remember talking about Operation Mindcrime. I'll tell you what, just a couple things I've noticed. Well, we really hit pay dirt with that Dio, you know, double episode we did, and I think we had to do that with some other bands.
Yep, you know, like a Deep like a Purple couple. And a Sabbath, and
well, we had somebody request us talk about the Crew, and now Motley, I can talk about probably for a year. And me and Motley are currently not on good terms. I'm a little pissed off over their farewell tour that they signed a contract that they would never tour again. And then they announced the damn tour with Def Leppard. So, and Nikki's been running his mouth and Vince has turned into the bumble. So me and the crew aren't on the best of terms right now, but you know, Motley was my favorite band for the majority of my life. So I could talk about the crew for a long time. So we will have to, you know, listener request. I would definitely love to do some crew stuff.
Yeah. Todd from Middle-Aged and Creeped Out podcast requested that one. So,
well, he did a good request because Motley is somebody I can tell you all about.
I told him it'd probably be like four episodes. I'm telling you.
When they put out that stupid dirt movie on Netflix, I was the one that was sitting there. That's all fake. That's all fake. Oh, that's actually real. Oh, that's all fake. Oh, that's all bullshit. Oh, actually, they actually was right about that one. So, yeah, I probably know more about Motley than Motley know about themselves at this stage. Unfortunately, like I said, I'm not real happy
You need to watch the Pam and Tommy then and critique
it. I will not watch that. My buddy John Corabi already said it was a bunch of bullshit and fake. So John knew. He was there then.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's I'm still to this day a huge fan of John Corabi. And I believe in my heart of hearts, if the crew had stuck with Corabi and not listened to Elektra Records and brought Vince back, that Motley would have made the biggest comeback in music history a little bit later in the 90s after grunge had started to die off and would have become fucking huge again. I really do. I will always believe that. I think if John had stuck around for at least two or three more albums, it would have been incredible. But instead, the label pretty much forced him back with Vince and Generation Swine. See, I'm already doing the crew episode. I need to shut up here.
Shut up.
That's coming.
Shut up.
I can talk about Motley for forever. I mean, just because I'm not fond of the way they're operating right now doesn't mean that they'll always hold a place in my heart, because I was listening to Motley Crue and I was, you know, like, shout at the devil when it first came out before I even knew what heavy metal was. Yeah. So. But yeah, I think we did, looking back, I'm enjoying your mini episodes, and I probably need to get in on it with some of the bands that I'm familiar with that you may not be.
Exactly. And yeah,
I think we should do deep dives into bands, you know, over several episodes, because it's, you know, like with albums, Act 3 is a great album, but there's just so much you can say about one single album. Exactly. You know, obviously we got
albums. Why that's good for the mini episodes, you know.
It is. But, you know, you had a good story with Death Angel getting to meet them, and so we had a little bit of meat there. But if you're not a fan of them and you're not even a fan of thrash, I really recommend Act 3. I think people who, you know, like the genre of heavy metal will find something on that album that they will like.
Yeah, the first time I ever heard it, I was totally surprised.
Yes, and again, it's still in rotation for me. I still listen to it.
It's still got a couple of thrashers on there, but
it does. It's not Frolic in the Park, but it's definitely a lot of the thrash bands kind of went through a change there for a bit. You know, I remember Testament put out a couple more commercial sounding albums that were really, really good.
Yeah.
Big fan of Chuck Billy. That dude's awesome.
Yeah, he's been.
But again, thrash is sort of one of my, you know, I kind of grew into, and still a big fan of all those guys, and most of them are still doing good for themselves.
Exactly.
Where is Poison? Nowhere to be found. Thank God. And I can say that because I was once a glam rocker. You know, that's.
Poser.
Now, honestly, I've told Video Bob this. In high school, I was more the kid from Beavis and Butthead that wore the winger shirt. You know, I was kind of just I can see in the future that kid probably grew up and met all the bands and, you know, made something. And while Beavis and Butthead, you know, we're still living in the wherever the hell they would live. Probably the gutter. And, you know, they're redoing Beavis and Butthead.
That's, yeah, I heard that, man. Sure. I can't wait. That's funny.
I think Stewart's going to say, yeah, you know, I was running around with Gene Simmons and me and James Hetfield, you know, we're playing golf and Hetfield. So.
Oh, shit. All right.
But yeah, I think I grew out of my Stewart phase and moved on to much better things.
Oh. Well, do you got anything else on Act 3 there, Carl?
No, I just, like I said, there's a lot of good, that's a good album. I like the Room of the View. The song, The Organization, which became the name of their next band. And there's a song called Disturbing the Peace that I'm
That's really good, fond man. Of. So I like just, all the songs on there.
They're personally. Great. That's just three I would highlight, you know. If you haven't ever heard Death Angel, that might be three good songs to start with.
Well, I totally recommend
it. Give it a chance.
I totally recommend it. How many devil horns do you give it, Carl?
I give that album 4.5. I don't even know why I would take a half off.
Yeah, I'm going with 4.5.
Maybe too, just because it was a little less thrashy than I did before and after, but
exactly. Same thoughts here.
Pretty great. It's a great album. You know,
awesome
pretty,
guitar. If you like guitar, man, just listen to that guitar. It's Rob Cavastani, man. He's like I said, he's an underrated guitarist for sure. Yeah.
4.5. But yeah, hey, I gotta give everybody. I know I went off on the Andy Warhol's Dracula, but I'll just be honest here. If I don't like something, I don't like something. I'm not gonna kiss anybody's ass or come up here and say I like something when I don't.
Like we were just talking off mic here. Just better hope Andy Warhol's ghost don't hear this, huh?
Yeah, Andy Warhol may come haunt me now. Just like Poison, you know. I love to talk shit about Poison, but I guarantee you, in 1988, I saw Poison open for David Lee Roth, and that was the damn best show I ever saw. Steve Vai and Billy Sheehan, and that David Lee Roth band was kick ass, and Poison was rocking it out too. But that was 1988. 2022, yeah, whatever.
Was it 88 when that tour went on, or was it earlier?
87, 88. It might have been.
Yeah, I was in the Army, and the ex-wife went to that concert. She's seen that show.
I just remember when I was in the Army. The opening act. It might have actually been 87. I don't know.
Might have been 86, maybe too.
I try not to think of Poison at all. I try to put them out of my memories, and no, we'll never do an episode on Poison. I'm sorry if anybody requests it.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of the glam bands from that era I still have a lot of respect for, like Kip Winger. Kip Winger is one of the best musicians that ever touched a freaking metal bass. You know, he just got kind of critiqued for being in the wrong crowd, you know, with Winger. Definitely was not a, except for 17, you know, they put out some good music and still do to this day. But Poison, yeah, we won't be talking about them. They go with Andy Warhol. I just hate Bret Michaels. You know, Ricky Rocket is one last story on this. Ricky Rocket. So I used to go to Bennigan's back, you know, years ago for lunch. And the waiter's name was Vlad, and he found out that I was a metal fan. So we were talking, and you know, he was like, well, I'm kind of embarrassed to tell you who my drumming hero was. And I'm like, who was it? He said, Ricky Rocket. And I looked at him, I said, you know what? Ricky Rocket is a damn good drummer. That ain't nothing to be embarrassed by. It's unfortunate that he was in a band with Bret Michaels, and he just almost laid in the floor laughing right in the middle of Bennigan's. So Brett's who I don't probably like too well. He's treated those guys like crap and thinks he's somebody. So that's my rant on Poison. It's over. Ricky Rocket.
You will never hear Poison on this podcast. It's an anti-poison podcast. Sorry.
It's also an anti-Andy Warhol podcast from this day forward. And no, I'm not watching that.
You will never see a soup can on this podcast.
Yeah, I'm sure you're going to find some more stuff I'll trash on here eventually. I think this is the first time I went off on the show yet. So find me some more crap and I'll go off on it.
Oh, shit. All right. You got anything else there, Rainer?
I think I've said way too much tonight. I've went on a roll. This reminds me of the days with Bob when we used to just randomly talk about bullshit.
Well, you might be hearing a lot more of that, people. So we like the bullshit, as you can tell, for the last hour or so. As you can tell,
yeah. But in closing, give Death Angel a thumbs up.
Give him a listen.
Dracula, thumbs down. And we'll see what we can come up with for the next show.
Yeah, well, hopefully we got.
And like I said, I'm going to try to do a few little mini episodes myself and cover some of the bands that you're not as familiar with that I think you might actually be surprised that you would actually enjoy, as would the listeners.
And I'm going to keep putting out these little mini episodes myself. So
there are a lot of European bands that I'm big into. A lot of the power metal stuff.
So
very obscure stuff.
If y'all got any requests, send us a request.
Yeah, please do.
Evil Never Dies Pod @gmail.com. Or if you're Facebook friends or whatever with us, message us on Facebook.
That's what I was going to say. We got the questions taken off of there finally that nobody could answer.
Yeah, so it's easy to join. We almost got 100 people in there in the group now.
See, there you go. Nobody could answer your questions. So now we have a page, a business page as well. Just Evil Never Dies, I think.
Yeah, that I forgot I even had.
So we're going to hook that up with a domain.
And we're on TikTok too, but I don't know about TikTok.
TikTok is where you get all the kids. So you're going to have to get on TikTok and make some videos there, Brett. Get on it.
What, I don't know of what. I've been posting a couple of stuff for like episodes we're doing and stuff like that. But
now you're going to have to do a lip sync video on TikTok.
No, you will never see me do that.
Never say never.
Unless it's Cannibal Corpse, I Come Blood.
You could do that. I want to see that on TikTok.
I might actually sing it.
You can do it.
Yeah, right. Anyway, guys, check us out on everything and
all formats. Are we on? We're on Twitter, I think, as well.
No, I'm not on Twitter. If somebody wants to do a Twitter account, I'm not doing a Twitter account. I'm sorry.
What about Instagram?
We're on Instagram.
That's what I saw us on, was Instagram.
Yeah.
Okay. Somebody make us a Twitter and they can run it for us. It'd be a fan page.
Please. Because we might get in trouble if we do it.
Yeah. You'd get banned from Twitter.
Probably in the first day. Anyway.
Yeah. You think Facebook's bad. You get on Twitter there.
Yeah, you can't say nothing on there. Well, evidently you can't say pimp on fucking Facebook anymore either.
Nah, shouldn't have to.
Huh?
I don't know. You don't be saying pimp. That's a bad word.
Pimp's a bad word.
On Facebook.
Well, I just put in the group, everybody pimp what you got, you know.
Did that get a
yourself?
Did that get a restriction?
Yeah, it did.
You better be careful. I'll have to ban you from the message board. The name of the message board changed. I like that.
Yeah.
To distinguish it from.
Well, I had it named the same as the other page, so had to change it. Then I couldn't figure out who was who.
Who was who, yeah.
So Anyway,
I have that trouble with the Count Karabi page because it has a page and also a group, but the group isn't really active. The page is.
So you got to change that name.
Nah. We'll leave it alone.
Yeah, you can join too. Join that too if you want, everybody. Count Karabi.
Count Karabi's Haunted Museum. Actually, just go to www.countkarabi.com. Count Karabi, and it'll take you right to our Facebook business page for the haunted house. Coming in October 2022.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. So if you're local in the Fort Worth, Dallas area, come check us out. It's going to be fucking badass this year. All right.
We'll be there to see you. I'm going to go watch Hammer Films, The Vampire Lovers, to get that Andy Warhol out of my brain.
All right. I think we're done now.
You sure?
I'm sure. Go watch your movie, still man. Here? I'm still here. Hey, everybody, stay evil, and thanks for listening.
After Andy Warhol's Frankenstein comes...
May I introduce Count Dracula.
Andy Warhol's Dracula.
Let me out tonight. No, not tonight. But I don't have the food I eat. They only have chicken, vegetables I've never seen before. I'm sure they have no virgin meat. It must be tonight. The girls are beautiful. They look so pure. But how can we get at them?
You have no attraction!
How old are you? Little girl? You don't know? But boys do it, little girls?
No.
Your sister never told you?
You would be too embarrassed.
You are a virgin?
Yes.
You're telling me the truth?
Yes.
I believe you.
What are those marks?
The kiss of Count Dracula.
Dracula. Dracula. Dracula. Dracula.
Dracula.
My body can't take this treatment anymore.
After Andy Warhol's Frankenstein, here is Andy Warhol's Dracula.